of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with your host, Brent McGuire. In today's episode, we're finally going to dive into the top 10 of this top 50 Angels in franchise history list. In this episode, we will take a look at players numbers 10 through 6, and then finish off this list on Friday with numbers 5 through 1. But before getting into the episode, as usual, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can find me at BMags94. You can follow my written work at Crashing the Pearly Gates. And if you haven't done so already, make sure to download, subscribe, rate, and review the Locked On Angels podcast wherever you get your podcast from. So happy Wednesday. Hope you're doing well. A couple things I want to touch on before getting into this episode. Not too much, but there were a few things I wanted to touch on. So first up, I had an article come out at Crashing the Pearly Gates looking at some of the relief targets that the Angels could look to acquire in free agency for their bullpen. So if you want to go check that out, I will link that in the podcast description. Obviously, that market took a pretty significant dip with the news of the Chicago White Sox signing reliever Liam Hendricks, who is arguably the best reliever in baseball right now. He has led baseball over the last 2 years in both ERA and wins above replacement. Now, this is something that I touched on in this article, but I don't think Hendricks was actually going to be a realistic option for the Angels. You look at his price tag, he essentially got $54 million over 3 years. The fourth year option thing is a little funky, but regardless, if the Angels were to sign Hendricks at that price, it would have been a lot of money allocated to their bullpen, and I just don't think that was ever going to happen. But very clearly, he's the best guy on the market. He is now not there anymore, so the Angels are going to have to pivot a different way. And luckily for them, there are a lot of options in this market. I mean, there still are some top tier guys. Brad Hand is still available. Alex Colome still available. Kirby Yates, who's kind of coming off an injury last year where he had bone chips removed from his elbow, is still an intriguing option and was basically the best reliever before he got hurt. And then there's just a whole bunch of like really interesting veteran arms, guys like Mark Melancon, former Angel Yusmeyr Petit. You've got Joaquin Soria, a couple left-handed options. It's like a very deep market, probably one of the more deep positions in this free agent class. So I know many fans are rightfully claiming for a starting pitcher or two to be acquired, but I still think the bullpen needs a lot of work. So I would expect the Angels to address that at some point coming up soon. But in terms of other news going on, there was something I forgot to touch on in yesterday's episode, and that was a report from Bob Nightingale that said Rob Manfred is telling teams to prepare for a full 162-game season. Now, I believe we touched on this pretty recently, a couple weeks ago. I have my doubts and concerns about playing a full season while the coronavirus pandemic is still just ravaging the United States, and I still feel kind of skeptical about the whole thing happening as a whole, the spring training starting on time, the whole season being played 162 games. But it is encouraging to see that the MLB side, the side that's really been pushing for fewer games and starting the season later, is actually kind of reversing course. Now, it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what might have caused this. My theory is they're seeing what's happening with COVID right now, and it's not getting any better. And this whole idea that they were just going to wait until the vaccines were distributed to more people, I don't know if that's a rational or a realistic idea right now. So I think they're seeing it as, you know what, let's try to get as many games as we can, hopefully get fans back during the season at some point. But I think I speak for baseball fans that it would be kind of nice to have a full season. Now, is it the right thing to do? That's a different story. But in terms of having some sort of normalcy with a full baseball season, obviously that's appealing, but there are a lot of obstacles that have to be accomplished, or I guess have to go through, to get to that point. So wanted to touch on these things before diving into the bulk of this episode. So as I mentioned, we're going to finish off the top 10 for this list of top 50 Angels in franchise history. So we're going to do numbers 10 through number 6, in today's episode, and then Friday we will finish off with the top five for this list. So we're going to start off today's list looking at number 10, and that is Frank Tanana with 30.8 wins above replacement.
Porter sends it to Carew. This should do it. He knocks it down. He goes to Tanana. In time! It's over! The Angels win! Frank Tanana mobbed by his teammate. Carew, his teammates making their way to the dugout as the Angels, for the first time in 19 years, win the Western Division title of the American League.
Once again, all the highlight audio is courtesy of Major League Baseball. Tanana's a very interesting story because he just happened to be pitching at the same time as the most dominant pitcher in Angels franchise history in Nolan Ryan was also at his peak with the Angels. And I think oftentimes Tanana gets a little overshadowed when you're going back and looking at, you know, not just pitchers in franchise history, but players as a whole. This guy was flat out dominant for a stretch with the Angels. I mean, you look at some of the numbers he was posting. I mean, it's kind of mind-boggling to see the amount of innings, the amount of production that this guy put up. Now, he kind of fell off a little bit towards the end of his Angels career. He had some injuries that kind of got in the way of his last few seasons, but man, I mean, when he was first up with the Angels, this guy was dominant. So, comes up in 1973 for a little bit of a sample, but 1974 is his first full season with the Angels, and from that time until from 1974 through 1978, the guy's a pretty consistent bet to give you 250-plus innings, an ERA at 3 or below. I mean, some of these seasons are just flat-out dominant. You look at his stretch from 1975 through 1976, that first year in 75 has a 2.62 ERA and 257 in the third innings, 7.2 wins above replacement. I think what's most notable is his strikeout per nine rate of 9.41 is such an anomaly for that time. Guys were not striking out hitters at that type of rate during that time. So him and Nolan Ryan were doing some pretty remarkable things in the middle of the 1970s for the Angels. And then, yeah, you look at his following year, 1976 is really just fun to look at because the guy nearly tossed 300 innings, 288 in the third innings with a 2.43 ERA is just, it's crazy stuff. And, you know, as you heard in the highlight audio at the beginning of this little segment, closed out the first pennant clinching game for the Angels in the 1979 season. So very big part of Angels lore and one of the best pitchers in Angels franchise history. So we're going to move on to this list to another dominant pitcher in Angels franchise history. Coming in at number 9 is Jared Weaver with 31.4 wins above replacement.
Southern California. And Casilla lifts one out toward right. Torrey Hunter giving chase. Still going back. Jared Weaver has now hit the Minnesota Twins. Light that baby up.
So Weaver is undoubtedly someone that many recent fans are familiar with. His work is just, his track record was remarkable with the Angels. And yes, it ended on a pretty sour note. He was not very good the last couple years, but from 2006 through roughly 2012 or so, one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. And it was pretty remarkable, pretty cool story to see that this guy that's an Orange County native, or a Southern California native, pitches at Long Beach State, first round pick for the Angels, comes up and is pretty much immediately a really good starting pitcher. Comes up in 2006, has a 2.56 ERA in 19 starts for the Angels, and really just kickstarts this stretch where he's, you know, not exactly the ace right away because John Lackey was still churning out some really good seasons at this time, but establishes himself as, you know, one of the better pitchers in all of baseball and kind of slowly builds up and then has just this massive breakout in the 2010 season and has a 3.01 ERA in 224 and a third innings, has his best strikeout rate of his career. He's a 9.35 strikeout per nine rate, 5.9 wins above replacement, and then follows that up with a dominant 2011 season, 235 and two-thirds innings with a 2.41 ERA. Unfortunately, finishes second in Cy Young Award voting to Justin Verlander, who also took home MVP awards that season. So this guy was just dominant for the Angels. And, you know, from a personal standpoint, he came up kind of right when I started to watch a lot of Angels baseball and was just such a likable guy when he was with the Angels and was a leader on the team and was just so quirky in the way, you know, he was. He was a tall, lanky, kind of awkward guy, but was just able to dominate hitters for such a long time for the Angels. And he comes in at number 9 on our list. Coming up in a bit, we're going to take a look at numbers 8 through 6 on this list. But first, let me tell you about Bet Online. There's only one place that has you covered and one place we trust. BetOnline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at BetOnline.ag and use that promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Whether it's NFL games of the week or the current NBA season, look no further than BetOnline for your best sports betting website. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Chain stores have different price tiers for professional mechanics and do-it-yourselfers. RockAuto.com's prices are the same for everybody and are reliably low. RockAuto.com always has the lowest prices possible rather than changing prices based on what the market will bear, kind of like airlines do. RockAuto.com is for everybody and does not require membership or account login. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts to customers online for over 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your car and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Go to RockAuto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or your truck. Write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan every day on the Locked On MLB podcast for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews, routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts, and insightful analysis of the day's biggest stories. Locked On Major League Baseball is the single best source for daily baseball talk. Subscribe today wherever you get your podcast from. So we're going to keep moving on our list as we get closer to the number one Angel on this list. And coming in at number 8 is Mike Witt with 34.5 wins above replacement.
Two balls, a strike. Bouncing ball to second. He's got to do it. A perfect game for Mike Witt. Mike Witt pitches a perfect game for California. And the Angels mob him.
So as you heard in that highlight audio, Mike Witt was not only part of that perfect game that he tossed himself, but also part of the combined no-hitter that he worked with Mark Langston on in the 1990 season. Mike Witt was just really good. If, looking back in history, you look at the 1980s, I feel like Mike Witt was one of the more underrated pitchers of that era and is pretty clearly the best Angels pitcher of that decade. And I think that's what's kind of fun about looking back on Angels pitchers and Angels franchise history. The 1970s, you've got Nolan Ryan, Frank Tanana. That's basically your 1-2 punch. The 1980s, Mike Witt. 1990s, you've got Mark Langston and Chuck Finley. The 2000s, Jared Weaver, John Lack. It's very easy to differentiate between these different eras. And Mike Witt was such a big part of those Angels teams, especially those two teams that made it to the Division Series or the Championship Series in 1982 and 1986. He was a remarkably consistent, dominant, durable starting pitcher and put up this really strong stretch in the middle of the 1980s. And his best season came in 1986, where he tossed 269 innings with a 2.84 ERA. And like I said before, played such an integral part of those Angels teams that made it to the playoffs in this decade, was just such a good, dominant, consistent starter for the Angels, and comes in at number 8 on our list. We're going to move on in our list to number 7 is memorable Angel Tim Salmon.
Salmon into deep left field. At the wall, the Angels are back on top. The franchise leader in home runs has never hit a bigger one than that.
So up until Mike Trout came around, Tim Salmon was in the conversation for best Angels player in franchise history, and for good reason. I mean, he led the franchise with his 299 home runs until Mike Trout broke that this past season, was around for a long time, just a really, really good hitter. Again, one of the better hitters of his generation when he was up. I mean, he was just a consistent power threat, on base threat, and really just made those Angels teams who they were as they started to turn the corner as a franchise in the new century. But you look at what he did before the 2002 World Series season, this guy was very quickly one of the best hitters in baseball. You look at what he did in 1993, his rookie season, slugs 31 home runs, has a 143 weighted runs created plus, is worth 4.7 wins above replacement. And this was basically who he was during the 1990s, was just consistently one of the best sluggers in the sport. And, you know, it's easy to forget about what he was doing at this time because there were so many other memorable guys putting up just monstrous numbers during the steroid era. So it's very easy to forget that Tim Salmon was doing this while guys like Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, all of these guys were just blasting home runs in the middle of the steroid era. So Tim Salmon, I think, gets a lot of recognition from Angels fans, and, you know, rightfully so. I think he gets a little lost in the shuffle when talking about baseball players as a whole in the 1990s. But, I mean, this guy was undoubtedly one of the better players during that time. And, you know, fans rightfully remember him for his contributions during the 2002 World Series, and that's definitely, you know, his best moment as an Angel. And it was so cool to see, you know, everything come together for the guy that had been around for the longest. But I often feel like when talking about his story and his legacy, it's not often, you know, talking about what happened before that. And before the century came around, he was one of the best hitters in all of baseball, or at least in Angels franchise history. And yeah, just one of the most memorable Angels, comes in at number 7 on our list. We're going to finish off today's list looking at number 6, and that is Bobby Grich with 35.6 wins above replacement.
Ripped into left field down the line for a base hit. Naren around third coming in, and the Angels go up 3-1. Grich, the game-winning hit.
So I'm not sure if I've talked about Bobby Grich too much on here, and if I haven't, I've done plenty of times through social media stuff just regarding Bobby Grich's Hall of Fame case, and I've been pretty strong on the record of saying that Bobby Grich should be in the Hall of Fame. Now, whether that was with, you know, an Angels cap or an Orioles cap is really besides the point, but when talking about some of the best second basemen of all time, Bobby Grich is absolutely in that conversation. He's a top 10 second baseman when you look at home runs, when you look at wins above replacement, defensive numbers. It's easy to see why he was kind of overshadowed during that time. People were just not taking notice of a guy who could get on base a ton like Bobby Grich did, and maybe were kind of undervaluing his defensive prowess as one of the best second basemen defensively during that time. But yeah, I mean, you look at the track record, and this guy was such a good player for a really long time, and, you know, makes it over to the Angels. He's one of their first free agent signings in that big class that brought not only Bobby Grich but also Joe Rudy and Don Baylor to the Angels, and pretty quickly became a fan favorite with the Angels. I mean, you look at what he did on the field, off the field, was one of the, you know, most active guys in the community. Very recognizable mustache, which was definitely on par for that time, was kind of a vocal leader for this team, was involved in a couple of pretty nasty brawls for the Angels in the late 70s, early 1980s. And yeah, I mean, just as a whole, Bobby Grich was an awesome, awesome player. Absolutely feel like this guy should be in the Hall of Fame. It's good to see that he's getting his due credit on this list as the number six player in Angels franchise history. And for those that still go to Angels games, you'll still see him from time to time around the stadium. I believe he still has some sort of role with the Angels. And yeah, I mean, Bobby Grich was just one of the most enjoyable players, and he is our number six player on this list. So that's going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Angels. As always, thank you to Major League Baseball for providing that highlight audio. So we are almost at the finish line for this list. I wasn't quite sure I was going to finish it this early, but because of this little dull period we have in terms of Angels transactions and big moves and all that kind of stuff, it just felt appropriate to try to just run right through this, finish it off this week. So like I've mentioned, Friday's episode, we will conclude this top 50 list. So I will basically run through that top five and then kind of recap and go down the list again to give a little bit of a refresher for those that might have forgotten or didn't follow along all the way through. But yeah, I mean, this has been really fun. I've enjoyed it. Part of this process of putting out these podcasts is, you know, not only trying to talk about Angels baseball, but I think it's fun to learn about the franchise and kind of relay that message to Angels fans, maybe those that are similar to me in terms of age and when we started watching Angels baseball. So this has been a lot of fun. I've really, really enjoyed the process. But that is going to do it for today's episode of Locked On Angels. As always, thank you for joining. Stay safe out there, and we will talk some Angels baseball on Friday.